Podcast with Brad Friedman. It's Recount 2016 coverage continuing with denial in Philly and unrecountable in Michigan. Also, Trump nominates a climate change denier to lead the Environmental Protection Agency. Then at 11, it's Between the Covers, today welcoming author Emma Donahue to discuss her critically acclaimed new book, The Wonder. And then at 11:30, it's Words and Pictures, bringing you the work of Portland-based artist Anders Nilsson and his sketchbook collection, Poetry is Useless. But up next, Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary right after this.
KVU Community Radio holds an open meeting concerning the operations and programming of KVU in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KVU Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be conducted at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, unless otherwise noted. The Program Advisory Committee meets the second Tuesday of each month at 6 p.m. Please call 503-231-8032 to verify if a meeting is being held. To request notice of board meetings in writing, please email Monica at kbu.org.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Thursday, December 8th, 2016, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community sanctuary radio, 90.7 FM on the air, kboo.fm on the web. And today, never thought this would happen, we are going to be hearing from Clint Curtis. He's a subject of an extraordinary documentary, Murder, Spies, and Election Lies. Mr. Curtis has pointed out to the American people who soundly ignored him that voter fraud, we have no voter fraud. There's no point scrabbling around in the dirt on hands and knees looking for voter fraud. But we have plenty of election fraud. And Mr. Curtis would know because he is the author of the source code for the Diebold hack. Let me just say that again. Clint Curtis, our guest today, he wrote the source code for the Diebold hack. And if you think that is dead in the water, and voting machines are a thing of the past, well, take a look at the election. Just take a look. Take a look at the, exit polls and compare the results of paper ballots and touchscreen ballots. Big difference there, huge difference. The paper matches the exit polls in every case to a greater or lesser degree, whereas the touchscreen in no way resembles exit polls. That's just one clue, and there are plenty more. Mr. Curtis, of course, now is on a different path entirely. He's an attorney at law, and he's fighting the good fight against election fraud, election theft. What we have now is clearly an instance of election theft, and we're going to get into that in just a minute. There's headlines to cover, but first let's do a little weather because, baby, it's cold outside. It's cloudy also. It was low around 28. And wind, well, 18 miles per hour gusting up to 30. And for tonight, freezing rain, snow, sleet, temperatures around 39. Winds 15 to gusting up to 25 miles per hour. Really we could definitely get a little snow, especially at higher elevations. And for tomorrow, Friday, it changed all of this. All this comes crushing down in the form of rain and a high around 46. Winds tapering off to the 9 to 10 mile per hour range, and lows around 38. That's about it. Not much chance, so they say, of any snow sticking. Council Crest is a good bet if you want to get up there and see some snow in the greater Portland area, and simply drive east on I-84 or Highway 14 in Washington if you want more snow in that direction. So there's your snow report for today. As soon as we can, we want to get Clint Curtis on the line. And I think that that's just about to happen. Until then, a note on Trump and his army of rubes spreading fear across the land. You can see where this is going. Trump is trumpeting a returning steel mill jobs to Indiana. Snow? How about a snow job in Indiana? First, he'll want to arrest those jobs. He's going to have to arrest those jobs from the steel claws of the robots who are now performing them. Hey, it's a little hard to imagine. Mr. Trump thinks that he is going to sack the past to in order to fuel a dubious future. And we'll want to check in with Trump a year or so from now, maybe even a couple of months from now, and see how that's working out for him. And a couple of notes from Russia with Schlub. The Russia state-owned news agency RII says that an ex-foreign policy advisor of the U.S. president-elect Donald Trump is visiting Moscow to meet with, what else, businessmen and politicians. And just go ahead, use your imagination. You'll never keep up with these guys. They're way out ahead of your worst dreams. Talking about worst dreams and talking about movie scenarios. Wow, we're speaking with Clint Curtis today. Good morning. Good morning, Clint. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Your story is just incredible. And it only surprises me that in the theater that we now find ourselves, and it's not Hamilton, that's for sure, what just played out, this was a most peculiar election. I refused to call it an election. I called it an auction. But we did go through the motions. And the motions seem to include these Diebold machines and the magic that happens on the touch screen voting ballots. I would know a little bit about that. I also wanted, before we get any further into this, commend listeners' attention to this film. It's Murder, Spies, and Election Lies. And that's a great way to start this talk. Can you tell us what that means and how it relates to what we were just served up as an election?
Well, the movie in itself, that was produced probably a decade ago, and that's when I was a programmer back then, attorney now, and I was asked by a head of the Florida House, the Speaker of the Florida House, to write a program that would basically be a touchscreen and how you would manipulate elections so you could go in and basically choose who won. And my assumption, of course, is, well, these things are coming on the market and he wants to stop manipulation, because you're not naturally going to assume someone is going to break the law like that. So I wrote the program, wrote the code, did the demonstration, say, there it is. You can do it easily. There is no way to detect it after it's done. You're just toast. Thing will work in a touchscreen. Same thing works in a scanner. If you don't count the paper, you will never catch the flip. And so as part of you know, my presentation, I said, in order to do that, you have to have paper that is separate from the machine. You know, don't have the little rolls on the side, because that won't do it. That's just, it'll be a three-card Monty game. You know, I just find somebody who voted like you, show you their receipt, you'll be happy, you'll go on your way, and I'll vote any way I want to. So that, you know, the programmer can do anything he wants with the machine when he wants to do it. So you have to get it separate. And then when you're done, you can use your scanners to give you a preliminary count of who won, you know, because news agencies and people want to know 5 minutes after the poll closes who won. But make that preliminary and then sit down and hand count that paper and see if it actually matches.
And so what we saw, again, in this election in Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin, was that there were vast discrepancies between exit polls, which are often pretty much spot on exit polls, and instances where touchscreen voting, Diebold machines. We're speaking about mainly about Diebold machines, but this is source code, this is software that can be installed on any touchscreen machine. So this
touchscreen or scanner.
Or scanner.
Scanners,
yes.
Do not save you.
Well, and there's no. Is there so? How to put this? What steps would be taken to catch somebody doing this? A state who would in fact make the decision and take the steps to install this. Or does it just come in the package with a Diebold machine?
Well, the one I wrote was designed to come in the package. It was designed to be sent to the manufacturer and worked into their process. They may not even know it occurred, you know, because the whole thing was 24 lines of code. So it wasn't that tough to do. So, you know, if you send it to the manufacturer, they rolled in their machines, then they can, you know, they may not even know it happened. If it's hacked from the outside, you have the same thing. So if you have a Russia or an ISIS. A lot of people says Russia, but generally if you're hacking something, you're going to try and misdirect who did it. So you're going to put different fingerprints on it. So it may not be the Russians. It might be ISIS. It might be someone else. And then a year down the road after everything is settled and, you know, we have a new Supreme Court, and we have all these weird things going on, they could pop out and go, we fixed your elections and you're too stupid to even check it. And every bit of faith that the people have left in the government would disappear overnight. It would throw things into chaos. It would be equivalent to ISIS dropping a nuclear bomb on our institutions, because our courts would be wrong, our legislatures would be wrong, everything would be on its head.
And there would be no, essentially no president.
There would be no president.
Everything that had occurred during that year
would be gone.
Who would step in? Who would run the show?
Oh, because great. You couldn't count on your election, so you don't know who was elected. It would just throw everything into chaos. And what happens with everything that happened during that year? You know, do you do a start over? Do you suddenly have an election with no president? Do a start over? You know, do you leave the president you have there, even if you now found that he wasn't elected in charge, and then try and form a new election? Because how? You know, lame duck presidents don't have any power. Can you imagine someone who's there who we now know wasn't elected?
Yeah.
The whole thing would go
crazy.
It's a very bad situation. So counting it is vital, and that's why this recount in Florida, in Wisconsin, in Michigan, in Pennsylvania, and I believe there's one out in Nevada, too.
Uh-huh.
So counting these things are very important, because if there's a problem and we find it on our own rather than being told about it, you know, a year later, then at least we've done our own due diligence and we fixed our own issue. And from there on out, because all you have to do is the same thing you had to do a decade ago, is just don't trust the machines. Don't trust the scanners. Don't trust the DREs. In fact, throw those away, because you can never get back to the paper on those. And just count the paper by hand when you're done, and check that total against what your scanner gave you. Because then they would have two ways of checking. You'd have an audit of the scanner and an audit of the paper. Eventually the paper would have to win, but if you miscounted it, you know, if you're way off from what the scanner told you, you could always count it again and find out what's right. So, or the scanner's messed up.
That's startling news. And how we've got about a minute left. I just have to ask, how would a foreign government, what would be the pathway for a foreign government to hack an election or anything else, you know?
It's extremely simple. In fact, the FBI has confirmed that at least, I think it's six states, voter registration databases were hacked. And that's your first attack, because you want to find out who's not likely to vote, and you want to be able to vote for them so you can keep your databases in sync. Because you want the same number of voters to say they voted in the database as have voted in your machine. So that's your first thing. And we've had several affidavits in Florida from people that said they tried to go in and vote, and the database said they'd already voted, which is a good indication that something is wrong. Because if they hadn't voted, either someone mismarked them, which is possible, or something or someone voted for them, which is not a good thing.
Clint, there's a lot more to talk about, and I hope that we'll get a chance to have a long conversation and get that up on the KBOO website, where it will probably instantly be hacked. So I cannot thank you enough. It is just a real pleasure to have you on the show today. We've been speaking with Clint Curtis, this subject of an extraordinary documentary, Murder, Spies, and Election Lies. You've got to see that if you haven't seen it already. It does go back a bit, but is it ever pertinent today with recounts going on and a very suspect election just passed. This has been Echo's Cadia for Thursday, December 8th, 2016. Our engineer today, Rock Bergeron. Thanks, Rock. And our AM News and Public Affairs Director is Derek Crooks. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned.
The issue that we run into across the state is recountability.